Harvest New Beginnings Church is located in Oswego, Illinois. We exist for God's glory alone, encouraging each other to have a deep love for God and a sincere love for people. This message is brought to you by Pastor Scott Poling.
All right, guys, how did you do this past Wednesday? It was Valentine's Day. Did you express your undying love? Did you buy her candy? Maybe take her out to dinner? Did you give her a bouquet of a dozen red roses? Well, there are many ways to win her heart and express your love, but sometimes us guys, man, sometimes we struggle. We struggle with ideas, we struggle with creativity. Well, nowadays, you can Google just about anything. Better than Googling it is Bibling it. Amen. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to Bible it, and we're going to see what the Bible has to say about expressing our love. We've started this new series called Our Imperfect Family. Boy, aren't we all imperfect? Imperfect men and women, imperfect kids and parents, imperfect homes and families. Man, we fall so far short, every single one of us. Imperfect marriages. Not a single marriage here is perfect. And I want you to know we're all learning, we're all growing. And this series is for all of us. And this message today is for all of us. It's for men, married and single. It's for women. It's for wives. It's for you ladies to know how to pray for your men, how to encourage us as men. It's for single women out there looking for a man to know what to look for. It's for young and old of all ages. But this message is for men. So, guys, are you ready? Here's the message. You guys are doing great. I'm proud of you. Keep up the good work. Woo! All right, now for the second message for women. I'm just kidding, ladies. I'm smarter than that. Men, we need direction. Boy, we need to be challenged and encouraged. And guys, I'm going to be honest with you. You're going to hear some hard things today. You're going to be challenged. But it's good for us. And ladies, we need your prayers. It is hard trying to be a man of God. It's hard to be a husband. We need your prayers, and we thank you for being patient with us. We thank you for that as well. And instruction is good for us, guys. And today, by the end of this service, I'm hoping every guy in here will have a bouquet of beautiful, unfading blessings to hand to the love of his life, to understand what God wants us to give to our wives. And it starts with giving her the gift of spiritual leadership. Guys, this is your calling, not your wife's calling. This is your calling. You're the captain of the ship, so to speak. You're to take the helm and lead and set the course for your wife and your family, sailing against the winds and the waves of this world and this culture and avoiding those ports of compromise that are everywhere, refusing to take those excursions onto the shores and streets of sin. You and I are called to be like Joshua, this warrior, this general, this man of God, Moses' right-hand man. They would leave Egypt, 2 million people strong, and Joshua would watch an entire generation wander in the wilderness and die in that wilderness. 40 years of wandering and dying. 40 years because they didn't listen to him and Caleb's advice. 40 years because all they did was complain and gripe and moan about life. They wandered and died. Never giving up their false gods, wandering and dying. And then Joshua gets to enter the promised land. One of two. Unbelievable privilege. He's the general. He's the warrior. He's the man of God. And he conquers the land. And he sees miracle after miracle and God's promises fulfilled. And Joshua, after the land is conquered, is rightfully concerned. People are getting comfortable. They're beginning to do what the previous generation did. They're being tempted by the culture around them. And he knows where this is going to lead. It's going to lead to them wandering and dying. And he's like, not my family, not on my watch. And that's what you guys need to say. Not my family and not on my watch. Because it starts at home and it starts with the husbands. And he gives this challenge then, and he gives this challenge to us. Joshua 24, as for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. As for me and my home, we will serve the Lord. Men, lead your family. Husbands, lead your wives. Lead them away from the sins of your past family members and lead them away from the sins of this culture and take a stand for your family and take a stand for your wife and lead them to worship God. You should be the one saying, we're going to church, not your wife. Lead them to serve God. God has gifted you with spiritual gifts. Know what your spiritual gifts are and use them for the glory of God and set that example for your wife and your children of what it is to worship God and what it is to serve God. And make that decision decisive now. Make it now. No hesitation, no indecision, and no wavering back and forth. You give her that. You give your wife the gift of spiritual leadership. Now, I want us to look at a passage, one of the most well-known passages in the scripture on marriage. It's found in Ephesians chapter 5. Last week we saw the portion to the wives. This week we see the portion to the husbands, by the way, which is twice as many verses. It's almost like God's saying, you guys are thick-headed, you need a little bit more. Verse 25 of Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, since we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Next, we learn from this passage to give her the gift of genuine love. Or as those who are familiar with the Princess Bride, true love. Give her the gift of true love. Of genuine love. And he says, husbands, love your wives. Do you understand God's counting on you guys? Her heavenly Father, if she knows the Lord is her Savior, her heavenly Father is counting on you. He deeply cares for his daughter. And he says, you better make sure you're treating my daughter right. She's my girl. And he says, love your wives. And every time I read this, I'm saddened. Not because of the command. I'm saddened that God has to tell me to do this. I mean, shouldn't this be obvious? Love your wife. Every time I read this, you know what it says to me? Us men are so forgetful and so selfish and so hard-hearted and so thick-headed that God has to tell us something so basic. Love your wife. Love her. And this is more than friendship love. That's the word phileo. And we need to be the best of friends with our wives. You need to work on that, guys. It's more than sexual love, eros. And we need to have a good sex life in marriage. God wants that. This is the word agape. Agape love is what God is saying here. I want you to sacrifice for her. I want you to be selfless toward her. This is a never-ending love. You don't stop loving your wife after the first week of marriage. You don't stop loving her after the first year of marriage. You don't stop loving her after your 25th anniversary. Hey, it's over, babe. No. You don't stop loving her after 50 years. This is a call to never stop loving your wife the rest of your life. And some would say it's a life sentence. Well, I wouldn't see it like that. But you're to love her for the rest of your life. And to get a full understanding of what agape love means, you go to 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And that's the word agape. This is what love is, guys. This is how you're to love your wife. Love is patient. You're to be patient with her and kind toward her. It does not envy. It's not boastful. It's not arrogant. You're to be humble towards your wife, not walk around with a chip on your shoulder. It's not rude. You're not to make snide remarks and put her down. It's not self-seeking. The focus is not to be you. The focus is to be her. It's not irritable. And some of us guys can be a constant irritation. We're like a bad rash to our wives. You're not supposed to be irritable. And it does not keep a record of wrongs, meaning it forgives. It doesn't hold on grudges against your wife. Finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It means your love for your wife is strong. And it believes all things. You know what that means? You give your wife the benefit of the doubt. And you don't assume the worst in her. Stop assuming the worst in your wife and give her the benefit of the doubt. That's what it means to love her. It hopes all things. It endures all things. It doesn't give up. We live in a world of quitters. Don't be one when it comes to your wife and your marriage. And love never ends. It's undying love. That's the gift you're to give your wife, genuine love. Give her the gift we see next of self-sacrifice. And the verse goes on to Jesus' example of what it means to love our wives in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Wow, this is big. And gave himself for her. Jesus is God, sinless perfection in heaven above, becomes a man to live among us in this sin-sick, crazy world, to die on a cross, taking all of our sins. He is our example of how to love our wives. Love her like Jesus loves you. Love her like Jesus loves his church. This is an extreme love. It's a proven love. This is a limitless love when you consider God's love. Ephesians 3. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and the width and the height and the depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge. Think about God's love for you. It stretches back before time and into eternity. Think of the width of God's love. Wider than the east is for you from the west. That's the kind of love you are to have with your wife. The width of your love to wrap your arms around her and love her with everything you have for her. That's how you're to love your wife. The height of God's love. It's out of sight. It stretches beyond heaven. That's how you're to love your wife. The depth of God's love, reaching down to our deepest, darkest sin and pulling us up from this abyss of hell itself. That's the love of God. That's the love you're to have for your wife. And by the way, you may be here today and you've never experienced the love of God. You need to know how much he loves you. You need to understand he'll forgive you of any and all of your sin. He died on the cross for all of your sin, all of your shame, all of your guilt. Call out to him and he will save you and he will forgive you. God's love is extreme, it's proven, it's limitless, it's selfless. Jesus gave up his rights. Guys, give up your rights for your wife. Jesus surrendered his comforts and his conveniences. That's what it means to love your wives, guys. Give up your comforts. Give up your conveniences. Give her that gift, the gift of self-sacrifice. Give her the gift of holy concern. And we see Jesus' concern for the church. What is he doing? Ephesians 5:26. He's concerned for her holiness, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. So when it comes to our wives, you need to care for her holiness. You need to care about her cleansing with the word of God. You need to care about the splendor of her purity. Please get this, guys. The goal for your wife is godliness. Your job, one of them, is to help your wife grow in godliness, to help her be all she can be in Christ, to help her be holy. Now, ultimately and eternally, Jesus alone can do this. But in this life, we should be encouraging her in godliness and holiness, not being a discouragement, but an encouragement. And to help her be clean. How does that happen? With the washing of water by the word. The word of God is a cleansing agent, the Bible. So we're in scripture and reading scripture. It helps us understand cleanliness and holiness in our own lives. We should be encouraging our wives to be in the word of God, in Bible studies with other wives and other women, under the word of God, the preaching and teaching. sharing with her the Word of God, as you're spending time in the Bible yourself, letting God teach you, and hearing verses and how God uses them in your life and sharing those verses with your wife. Please understand, men, her job is not to look after your spirituality. Your job is to look after her spirituality. Some of you guys think she's supposed to be the spiritual leader. You are to be the spiritual leader. And this is hard. And we fail miserably. And we need to commit to do this better, is what we need to do. And we need to pray about it. And we need to confess to God our sins and not doing this like we should be. We need to ask for our wives' patience and prayer as well. Because we're to help them be holy and help them be cleansed and help them be beautiful. Verse 27, Jesus takes great joy in his church, his beautiful bride, the church, to see her in splendor, without spot, holy, blameless. See, us guys care way too much about how our wives look on the outside when we should be caring how she looks on the inside. The priority is not her outside. The priority is her inside. We need to start caring more about that and understand and follow Jesus' example. Do you understand? He gave himself for the church. He gave himself for us. That's how much he loves us, to cleanse us, to make us holy. You know what that means? It means we're not holy. It means we're dirty. We're sinful. Do you understand what this means? Please get this. Our imperfections didn't keep Jesus from loving us. The church's imperfections didn't keep Jesus from dying for the church. So in other words, there is never an excuse for you not to love your wife, no matter how imperfect she is. Jesus didn't stop loving the church because it's imperfect. You're not to stop loving her because she's imperfect. You don't stop loving her no matter how many faults she has and no matter how many failures she has. God never stops loving you in spite of all your failures and all of your faults. Don't you dare stop loving your wife. No matter her faults, no matter her failures, Jesus died for his imperfect bride. He gave up everything for his imperfect bride. Our calling is the same. John Piper put it this way: don't set the standard of your love for your wife any lower than Christ's standard of loving the church. That's the highest standard in the universe, Christ's love of the church. That's what you give your wife, holy concern. You give her the gift of focused attention. We move the focus off of ourselves and we put it on our wives. Look at verse 28 of Ephesians 5. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, since we are members of his body. So to love our wife is to love our own body. Let's go back. Let's go back all the way to Genesis chapter 2, the beginning of creation. The creation of Eve, taken from Adam. Eve comes from Adam. Remember, there's no helper found suitable for Adam. So God causes a deep sleep to come upon the man. And God takes one of the ribs and he fashions a woman from the rib of Adam and presents her to Adam. Husband and wife were one flesh from the beginning. Eve was taken from Adam. Do you understand what marriage is? Marriage is a restoration of our oneness as husband and wife. Get this. Husbands, love your wives as your own body. The model of your love for your wife is how you love your own body. Think about this. We take care of our bodies, guys. We're pretty good at it, right? I mean, you think about it. You eat and eat and eat, and by looks of it, some of you are doing really well in this area, okay? We take our naps, we get our rest, you go to the gym, you work out, you like to relax, you sit back, watch TV on your couch, and you don't ever let go of that controller, man. You hold on to that thing. When's the last time you let her watch something she wanted to watch? When's the last time you let her do something she wanted to do? When's the last time you went somewhere she wanted to go? Just don't ever ask her where she wants to eat. We know where that goes. I don't know. I don't care. So next time, try this. Don't ask a girl where she wants to eat. Tell her to guess and then take her to her first guess. There you go. That's how you do it. To love her is to love yourself. Do you understand this? He who loves his wife loves himself. Guys, you got to get this. Your best investment is your wife. That's your best investment, not your business, not your retirement fund, not your mutual funds or stocks or whatever. We have way too many men that are making bad investments because they're invested way too heavily in themselves. And when you invest too heavily in yourself, you bankrupt your marriage. And some of you here are bankrupting your marriage because all you do is invest in yourself. And if you're here today and your marriage is not going well, men, honestly, it's time to change your investment strategy. It's time to reallocate your time and your attention and your resources, your money, your love, your energy. It's time to reallocate those to your wife because she is your greatest investment. And let me tell you something, there's always 100% return when you finally get this right. Stop bankrupting your own marriage and give her the gift, that gift, and what it means to have focused attention. Next, give her the gift of lifelong commitment. We see here the next portion of Ephesians 5 is a direct quote from Genesis 2. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. It's the whole idea of leave and cleave. You come together. This guy right here is having a hard time with it with his mom. But ladies, how would you like to have that as a mother-in-law? Woo, boy! Listen, leave and cleave. Make the break from your family, guys. Make the break from your family, wives. Make the break. It doesn't mean you can't talk to mom and dad. That's not what it means. But make the break. All right? Talk to your wife first, guys. Talk to your husband first. And let me just give a word to parents here with married kids. Mind your own business. Mind your own business and stop being a pain, okay? Stay out of their way. They're their own family. Understand that. Yes, you can encourage them. Yes, you can give advice to them, especially when asked. And yes, in a very serious situation, if there's personal danger involved or safety's in jeopardy, yes, you get involved. Believe and cleave. It's a lifelong commitment. You made promises before God and witnesses. Keep them. Do you remember your promises? They went something like this. I take you to be my wedded wife. To have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish. Say the last part with me. Till death do us part. You're not dead. Keep your promise. You're not dead. You made a promise. Keep it. And I know there are certain instances of betrayal and hardships like that. We know in Scripture God sometimes permits divorce, but he says because of hardness of heart. He would still prefer reconciliation every single time. Please understand that. And Jesus would add to Genesis 2 in Matthew 19. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. The Lord sees marriage for life. The Lord wants marriage for life. End of discussion. Now we look at another passage in Scripture. Just like we did last week for the wives, there's a section now for the husbands. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker partner, showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Give her the gift of patient understanding. Now, the scripture here says in the same way. What does that mean? It says, well, in the same way I just talked to the wives. So I want to say, if you missed last week's service, I talked to the women, the wives. And I would encourage you, if you weren't here, please go back and listen to it so that you get the whole picture. And if you missed the first week of this series, that's when I just laid the groundwork, the foundation for it. Go back, go to this website right here and just podcast it and just listen to it. But he says here, live with your wives. Listen, men, live with your wives in an understanding way. And I know some of you are thinking, impossible! I don't understand this woman. I don't understand how she thinks and her choices and her emotions. And I don't know why she starts to cry. Out of nowhere, she just starts to cry and I don't know what to do about it. Well, here's good news for all of you. Volume 1 of the paperback version of Understanding Women has finally arrived. What does it mean to understand? Listen, understand means to dwell with them according to knowledge. Dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Become knowledgeable of your wife. Become an expert in all things your wife. Work on understanding your wife. You guys are good at this. You can figure anything out. Oh, my word, some of you people YouTube everything. You figure stuff out all the times. You can figure your wife out. You can do it. I got an edger for Christmas. I love yard work. And so on Monday, I broke it out because it was a nice day. And I started, you know, using it on different shrubs in the yard. It worked awesome. And believe it or not, when I opened it, I read the instructions. I read the instructions. I was so spiritual that day. I'm telling you. Now, I didn't read any of the safety stuff, but I read the instructions. Men, study your wife. And not just physically. You're good at that. Some of you guys are laughing. Guys, you're good at studying her physically. You need to start studying her in other ways. Emotionally. Her likes, her dislikes. Spending time with her, asking questions, listening to her, putting your phone away, listening to her, turning the TV off, listening to her. Seek to understand, not just to be understood. Give her that gift of patient understanding. Give her the gift of mindful tenderness. Be thoughtful. Be gentle. Verse 7 again. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker partner. Some of you ladies are like, who's he calling weaker? That skinny little wimpy pastor. Listen, this is not a put down, okay? We learned last week that a woman is not inferior. She is equal. She's a co-heir. We'll see that again in a moment. Weaker can mean the wife has made herself vulnerable. The context of this passage is that she has submitted herself to the husband. She's placed herself in a position of weakness or vulnerability. And so, guys, she's not to be taken advantage of. She's not to be exploited. And by the way, women are also weaker physically. On a whole, this is true. I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb here, but pretty much every man here would beat his wife in an arm wrestling match. I'm pretty sure of that. Men, if you can't, it's time for a gym membership. I'm just saying, okay? Men and women are different physically. And I know for some reason this world and its insanity can't get this. There's a difference. There's only two genders. There's male and there's female. And they are different and they're beautiful. They're beautiful. The way that God has made a woman and the way that God has made a man, they're so different and so beautiful, and it should be embraced is what it should be. And women are softer. They're more curvaceous. Men are harder and more muscular. Men are denser. And all the women are like, go figure, yeah. We're not talking about brains. We're talking about brawn. Listen, the National Institute of Health, 43% of the average man's body is muscle. 36% of the average woman's body is muscle. 15% of the average man's body is fat. 26% of the average woman's body is fat. Don't call me fat. I'm just saying there's a difference. We are built differently. And he says, men, Live with her in an understanding way, as with a weaker partner. That means be gentle with her. Don't expect her to do everything you can do. I'm taking my wife, Lord willing, out to Glacier National Park this summer. Gonna go on a trip with her, and I'm used to 20-mile hard-driving hikes. She better be ready, and she better be keeping up. No, that's not gonna go over well. I need to be careful. I need to be gentle. You don't treat her like one of the guys. She's not one of the guys. She doesn't want to be treated like one of the guys. And on the day you married her, God gave you a precious package. And you know what it said? Fragile. Handle with care. And some of you men have forgotten that. That on the day you were married, you were given a precious package. Fragile. Handle with care. You don't treat her like the baggage handlers at the airport treat your suitcase. Fragile. Handle with care. And there's a difference between men and women. See, us guys are like a big plastic coffee mug. We're a Bubba mug. That's what we are. We're just a Bubba mug. All right? You drop a Bubba mug, it bounces around, you pick it back up. You know what your wife is? She's a China porcelain teacup. And you drop her, she shatters. She's very delicate, fragile. Handle with care. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, live with your wives and don't be bitter toward them. Listen, when your wife upsets you, and she will, you be gentle with her. Fragile, handle with care. When the expectations of yours are not met with the house or the food or whatever, the kids, you be gentle with her. Fragile, handle with care. When an argument breaks out, and it will, probably after this message, I don't know. Fragile, handle with care. And you guys may say, well, I'm no good at being gentle. I don't know how to be gentle. I'm not a real sensitive guy. Oh, you know how to be gentle. You know how to be gentle. Some of you are very gentle with your favorite golf club. Some of you are very gentle with a certain hunting gear, fishing gear, or you're very gentle with a favorite tool. Nobody else can even use it but you. And some of you are very gentle with that car. Oh, your car. You wash it and you wax it and you take such good care of it and you store it in your garage unless a little birdie goes doo-doo on it. And my word, if it gets a scratch on your car, it's a hunk of metal. It's not going anywhere but here on earth. It's not going to heaven with you. Some of you treat your car better than you treat your wife. What are you doing? She's much more precious. Be gentle. And don't raise your voice at her. Be gentle. Don't you dare curse at her. Be gentle. Don't you dare lift or lay a hand on her. You be gentle. And ladies, if you ever feel threatened physically, you seek help immediately. And by the way, we have free, trained, biblical counseling at our church. Seek it out. Give her the gift of mindful tenderness. Give her the gift of equal honor. That's what verse 7 says, showing them honor, 1 Peter 3:7. Showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. Honor means esteem her, respect her, give her credit, not blame, not despise, not demean. And it says show her honor. Don't just think about it. Don't just talk about it. Do it. Honor her privately. Honor her publicly. Honor her. And honor her, we're told, as a co-heir. Listen, guys, that means, husbands, you are not better than your wife. She's a co-heir. Husbands, you are not more important than your wife, and some of you think you are. You are not, not in God's eyes. You're a co-heir. Unmerited favor of God rests upon her just as much as you. Same Savior, same grace, same eternal destiny in heaven. And in God's eyes, actually, Galatians 3:28 teaches, there's no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since all are one in Christ Jesus. And then comes the warning. And if you don't do this, and you're not gentle, and you're not being understanding, and you're not kind, and you're not patient, I won't listen to a thing you have to say. He says, so that your prayers will not be hindered. You better take your responsibility very seriously, guys, because God sure does. And he says, if you don't get this, I close off all communication to heaven. And you thought bad internet was bad. Brother, you're in trouble when God says, I'm not listening to a thing you have to say. If you're not right with your wives, you can't be right with God. I don't care how many times you come to church and how often you read your Bible. If you are not right with your wife, you are not right with God. If things are not right horizontally at home, they cannot be right horizontally in heaven. You can put on a fake smile and think they are not. And hindered here, hindered prayer, hindered is a military term. God throws obstacles in the way. Roadblock is what it is. How I treat my wife determines how God treats my prayers. And if we're not treating our wives right, our prayers become like clay pigeons at a shooting range. And God just shoots them out of the sky. Boom! Another pulverized prayer. And some of you have been wondering why it seems you're distant from God. Because you're distant from your wife. And you're wondering, well, I'm praying about my business, and I'm praying about the finances, and I'm praying about my health, and it doesn't seem like anything's getting through, because it's not. I'm praying for wisdom. I'm praying for strength. God's not listening to you. Nothing's getting through. Until you make it right at home, it can never be right with God in heaven. So start making it right. Make it right with your wife. I had to do this past week. I'm working on this, studying on this, what it means to be a godly husband, and I'm just like, oh, you guys just get it for 40, 45 minutes. I get it all week long. Amen. What are you talking about? I'm working on this. I'm down in the basement studying this time, and I'm just like, oh, I need to go upstairs. So I go upstairs. My wife's in the kitchen, and I just look at her and I say, I'm so sorry. I'm just not near as gentle as I should be. Will you forgive me? And of course she did. Guys, just humble yourself to your wife. She knows you're not perfect. She knows you're not perfect. She lives with you. Just be humble toward her and just be humble toward God when you mess up, and you're going to mess up. And ladies, please be patient with us. This is a high, holy calling to be a man of God in this world. And it is a hard calling to be the spiritual leader in our families. So pray for us, and I know you do, and be patient with us, and I know you are. And just encourage us as we just learn and grow in this area. Guys, give her the gift. Give her the gift of that equal honor. Give her the gift of personal purity. It starts with purity of eyes. Job was the most righteous man on the earth at the time, and this is what he said in Job 31:1. I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I look at a young woman? You understand what he's saying? I'm not going to lust after another woman. I'm not going to do it. No woman wants her man looking at another woman. That coworker, that neighbor, that model or actress on TV, and certainly not some porn star on your phone or your TV or your computer. You better be so careful. No woman wants to be compared to another woman. Don't you dare do that. Don't you dare do that with your wife. Control your eyes. Be disciplined, committed to purity of sight, and get help and accountability in this area. If this is an area where you fall, you get a friend and you get accountability. You come in and you get counseling. You do whatever it takes to control your eyes. Job knew the danger of a lustful look, because a lustful look leads to lustful desires, and lustful desires lead to lustful actions. And it won't be long if you can't control your eyes or won't control your eyes before you won't or can't control your body. Understand where this leads. It leads far beyond a look. And you need to control yourself. Your wife needs a man with pure eyes. Your wife also needs a man with a pure body. The marriage bed, Hebrews 13. Marriage is to be honored by all. And the marriage bed kept undefiled. because God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. Man, I love a good fire. Anybody else love a good fire in the wintertime? Man, I love a good fire with real wood and the smell of it and the sound of it and the warmth of it. It's cozy. It's so comfortable. It's so warm. A fire in the fireplace is beautiful. A fire outside the fireplace will burn your home down and destroy everything that you have. Keep the fire, men, of sexual passion inside your marriage. Because the moment it gets outside the marriage, you're going to burn your marriage down. And you're going to burn your home down. And you're going to burn your family down. And understand something. Sex before marriage and sex outside of marriage is destructive. Now, praise God for grace. Amen? Amen. Praise God for forgiveness. There's people among us made horrible mistakes. But God can forgive. And God does forgive. And so, if you've made mistakes, you've sinned against God and your wife or your husband, you come to the Lord. There's grace that's available. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I mean, Psalm 86, for the Lord is kind and ready to forgive, abounding in faithful love to all who call on you. But understand, sexual intimacy is to be enjoyed only and forever with your wife. Scripture uses some beautiful illustrations of sex and marriage. Scripture refers to the wife as a cistern or a well of water. Refers to the husband as a fountain or a spring. We see this in Proverbs chapter 5. We're told husbands are to drink water from their own cistern, water flowing from your own well. That means enjoy the water of sexual intimacy from the well of your wife. Should your springs flow in the streets, streams, and the public squares? Husband, keep your springs flowing at home, nowhere else. They should be for you alone, verse 17, and not for you to share with strangers. Let your fountain be blessed. Take pleasure in the wife of your youth. A loving deer, a graceful doe, let her breasts always satisfy you. Be lost in her love forever. In other words, be sexually intoxicated with the love of your wife. It's a beautiful thing. So ladies, when he's following you around the house like a little puppy dog, it's okay. It's okay. He's supposed to be sexually intoxicated with you and you alone. For a man, the best defense is a good offense. The best way to defend against sexual impurity is to have a wonderful sex life within your marriage. Verse 20, why, my son, would you lose yourself with a forbidden woman? Don't do that. Or embrace a wayward woman. What are you doing? Don't you dare embrace someone who's not your wife. Young men, save yourself for marriage and save yourself for that special woman. Young women, save yourself for that special man. Save yourself. The world will shame virginity. God elevates the beauty of it. Don't you ever be ashamed of being a virgin. What a beautiful thing. And if you're here today and you're not, you confess that sin, and from here on out, you stay pure. You stay pure. Verse 21, for a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, the Lord's eyes, and he considers all his past. In other words, you're not going to get away with your sin. God sees it all. God knows it all. In verse 22, a wicked man's iniquities will trap him. He's going to become entangled in the ropes of his own sin. Sexual sin is nothing but a trap. And so many men are tied down by sexual sin, trapped by the ropes of their own sin. Verse 23, he'll die because there's no discipline, and be lost because of his great stupidity. Sexual sin is because you're not self-controlled. There's no discipline. And sexual sin is nothing but stupidity. So says God. Now, talk about the best defense being a good offense. Husbands and wives are given a physical duty to one another. Look at 1 Corinthians 7. It's amazing. God puts this in Scripture because he cares about every area of your life, including sex and marriage. Look what he says in verse 2. But because of sexual immorality, because it's so common, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife. And each woman should have sexual relations with her own husband. It is protection from sexual immorality. That's what it is. You need to have a good sex life, husbands and wives. A husband should fulfill his duty, his marital duty to his wife, and likewise a wife to her husband. You have a job to do, ladies, and you have a job to do, men. Sex and marriage and fulfillment in marriage is one of the jobs. And a wife does not have the right over her own body, but the husband does. And in the same way, a husband does not have the right over his own body, but the wife does. In other words, guys, your body's not your own, it's your wife's. And wives, your body's not your own, it's your husband's. Fulfill that duty. And obviously, if you got company coming over in 2 minutes and there's supper on the stove, that's probably not the best time, okay? We got that. So there's common sense here. Your body is not your own, body belongs to your spouse. Do not deprive one another, verse 5, except when you agree for a time to devote yourselves to prayer. So in other words, you don't use sex as a weapon against your husband. And you don't use sex as a weapon against your wife. That just adds to the temptation. And then he says, come together again, lest Satan may tempt you, because Satan may tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Give her the gift of personal purity. Give her the gift, guys, of joy-filled days. And now we're just going to look at Ecclesiastes, this beautiful book of deep wisdom and insight, finding meaning and purpose to life. And look what he has to say about marriage and wives. Ecclesiastes 9. Enjoy life with the wife you love all the days of your fleeting life, which has been given to you under the sun, all your fleeting days, for that is your portion in life and in your struggle under the sun. This is beautiful. He says, guys, learn to enjoy life with your wife like you used to when you were dating. Start dating her again. Put it on the calendar. Go out once a week. Go out every other week. Go out once a month. Whatever works for your schedule. It doesn't have to be expensive. Go for a walk at a park. Go for a drive. Go get some ice cream. Do something together. Bask in the sunshine of marriage once again. Joy in marriage helps bring purpose and meaning to life. Joy in marriage helps enable us to use our days wisely and encouragingly as God's word commands and teaches. Why? Because he says your life is fleeting and your days are fleeting. That means your life is going to be over before you know it. Go have some fun, you and your wife. Go on an adventure. Spend time together. Get out of the house. Get away from the chores. Get away from the kids. Go laugh and enjoy life, because life is going to end. And your marriage is going to end, because your life is going to end, one of you. As a matter of fact, marriage is all you got right here and now. There's no marriage in heaven, so says Jesus in Matthew 22. Jesus answered and said, you're mistaken because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Marriage is only a thing for this life. There's no marriage in the next. There's no marriage in heaven. So make it count. Make it fun. Make it enjoyable. And then finally, give her the gift of heartfelt praise. Praise her and thank her and bless her and let her know how much you love and appreciate her. Proverbs 31. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. Kids, praise your mom. And stop asking everything from her. Well, what about this? What about this? Can I have this? Why don't you just stop and say thank you to her for all that she does for you all of the time. Learn to thank your mom and praise her. And men, you set the example for the kids. They need to hear you. They need to see you thanking their mom and praising your wife and not griping about things. Husbands, praise your wife. She is God's favor on you. Proverbs 18. A man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. She is God's gift to you. Proverbs 19. House and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. She is priceless to you, men. Proverbs 31. Who can find a wife of noble character? A godly wife is priceless. She's far more precious than jewels. Your wife is the most valuable thing in your life. Not your home, not your car, not your bank account. Your wife is the most valuable thing, men, in your life. And give her glowing praise. I mean, make it genuine and verbal and public and private and make it consistent. There was a man who was following his home, his man following his friend home from work one day because he was going to borrow a tool. And he was amazed. They walked in the house, and he was amazed how this man treated his wife. Kind of blew him away. He entered in, and he hugged her, and he kissed her, asked how her day went, complimented how she looked. She looked beautiful. He told her so. Complimented the meal. It smelled so great. It looked so great. They got the tool. They walked outside, the two men walking out, and the friend was so impressed. He said, "I don't understand. Why do you do this? How do you do this?" And he replied, he said, "She's my wife. She's a gift. She deserves praise. And her marriage is so much more joyful when I act like this and do these things and show her the appreciation she deserves." This other guy made his way home, and he was determined to change, start practicing what he saw. He got home, he walked in the door, and he hugged and he kissed his wife. He told her how beautiful she looked and how good the meal was. He thanked her for being a gift to him, and she immediately started breaking down and crying. He asked what was wrong. She said, "It's been a horrible day. Billy was fighting at school. He's been suspended. The refrigerator's broke. The food is spoiling. And now you come home drunk!" "May your praise not be so rare that your wife thinks something is wrong with you." Guys, give her this beautiful bouquet of a dozen roses. Here they are. Give her the gift of spiritual leadership, genuine love, self-sacrifice, focused attention, holy concern, lifelong commitment, patient understanding, mindful tenderness, equal honor, personal purity, joy-filled days, and heart-filled praise. Heartfelt praise. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Men, with your heads bowed, just talk to the Lord right now. Ask God to help you to be the husband you need to be. Pray for your wife right now. Thank God for her. Wives, pray for that man you're married to. It's hard. Pray for him. He feels the pressure. Encourage him. Kids, pray for your parents. Young people, pray for that future spouse. Commit to stay pure. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You may be here today and you're not a believer in Jesus. And your life is filled with guilt and shame. And you know you need God. I want to encourage you right now to call out to the Lord. Call out to him in the quietness of your heart with words like these: "Lord, I need you. Lord, will you please forgive me of all of my sin? Will you save me, please, from my sin? Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for me, for loving me that much. I place my faith in you. I can't save myself. God, would you please save me? Thank you for loving me." And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
If you've been prompted by this message and are in need of a new beginning, or would like more information about Harvest New Beginnings, visit atharvest.church.